Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Springboks of South Africa, who lifted their third Rugby World Cup title over the weekend in Yokohama, Japan. South Africa beat England 32-12 in the final, with black captain Siya Kolisi leading the Springboks. The 28-year-old Kolisi rose to the peak of a sport long associated with South Africa's white minority. Rugby fans who watched the final say the win is even sweeter because it represents a real breakthrough in South Africa's bitter racial history. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
The victory Saturday by South Africa's rugby team was momentous in more ways than one. The championship was the third world title for the Springboks, but the first time the team was led by a black captain, Siya Kolisi. His is an inspiring tale of triumph over the odds, from childhood in a poor black township to the head of South African rugby, traditionally a white-dominated sport. Longtime rugby fan Thando Makasi comes from Kolisi's hometown, Zwide. After watching the game at a Johannesburg bar Saturday, she says his life and leading the Springboks to victory are an inspiration.
I think it's a win overall. I think this tournament has just brought so much hope. I mean, South Africa, the year has been going, the change in presidency, the elections, and we come to this point where we really are rallying behind the box and we're one together, strong together, stronger together.
The win, many fans say, is reminiscent of the nation's 1995 Rugby World Cup triumph, when South Africa's first black president, Nelson Mandela, embraced the sport. South Africa ended the racist apartheid system in 1994. The next year, with racial tensions still fresh, Mandela walked onto the pitch, wearing a green and gold Springboks jersey to congratulate team captain Francois Pienaar. Their warm embrace showed this divided nation was on a path to racial reconciliation. In the crowds of rugby fans in Johannesburg, Nigel Ngwenya stands out. And not just because he plays rugby for the University of the Witwatersrand and weighs a solid 120 kilograms. Ngwenya is an England fan and wore their red jersey. But he gives the Springboks and Captain Kolisi their due.
They have that fighting spirit. They've got that never give up, never die spirit. Whatever you bring to the table, they try to catch up and actually do better, which they've been doing in the past games. Siya Kolisi, oh man, guy's coming from far. Guy's coming from far. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a shame I'm not supporting. I would have preferred him to play for England. But
28-year-old Springboks fan Madi Ranahuma says rugby is more than just a game of kicks and passes. It's about the soul of this nation.
South Africa is not about color. Well, since 1994, we are just trying. Eventually, we're getting there just to be South Africans. But one thing I love about sports, it always brings us all together. It doesn't matter where you're from, what you have, what you don't have. It's sports.
By the final whistle and a 32-12 victory for South Africa, even Ngwenya, the England supporter, was a changed fan, swapping his red jersey for Springbok green. It was only 80 minutes of play, but a new chapter in the Rainbow Nation's continuing story of hope and reconciliation. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Thanks, Anita. For more on South Africa's third Rugby World Cup championship, Iron Mike Mbonye called Cape Town, where he reached the head coach of Nigeria's national men's rugby team, Bronson Weir.
So the third time we won the World Cup, but this is the first time that a black South African captain will be raising the cup. So this is a great thing for our nation, and obviously an opportunity for other black and colored players to recognize that they can also lead their country.
How would you assess the game, the Springboks versus England in the final?
Yeah, Obviously, it was with England lost Sinclair early in the match, but it seems that England struggled in their scrums the whole match through. There was only one scrum that they actually pushed South Africa back, but otherwise South Africa dominated all the time. I think the tactic worked very well with regards to the six forwards on the bench and only two back in the dominant position. I must say that South Africa put a lot of pressure on England's set phase, and then also obviously the defence. South Africa's defence was so good that they only stood, I think that's about only six tries for this whole tournament, and that means that a lot of emphasis went on the defence. So my analysis on the game is that England couldn't get going because South Africa shut them down, and then obviously taking the game away with them with at the last few minutes, two great tries from the wingers over there.
The Springboks coach, Rassie Erasmus, is quoted as saying that this is the last time he will sit in that dugout as the coach. Does South Africa have a good replacement for him?
Well, yes, I think South Africa's plans was well in place. I think one of his assistants that's currently there will just step into that role and they'll continue on that road. Just remember that Rassie won't be stepping away completely from the rugby side of things because he will still be in charge of all rugby in South Africa, so he'll still be in charge of that. So he'll obviously still have an influence on the national team, and I'm sure when it comes to World Cup time, he will step up.
South Africa has set the pace for other African countries. How do you see the game of rugby in the continent?
We need more support from Rugby Africa, and we need more, you know, we need more like relations with South Africa for that matter. So Africa, Rugby Africa needs to do more for teams that in the lower tiers like tier 3 and 4, which is Nigeria, Ghana, Ivory Coast, to name a few, to play more often to get to the higher league. The opportunities they're currently giving us are so limited, and so the big key thing is here, once again, we need sponsorship. When Rugby Africa can't come to the front, we need our own funding to go and play abroad versus other teams. So that is the big thing that we need to get right as well in Nigeria rugby. And then obviously with South Africa, to start relationships here with them so we can send junior sides across to South Africa to come and play in competition so the boys can start preparing themselves from a young age and not at the age of 25, 26, because that's a bit too late. We need them to start developing at the age around about 13, 14 already.
What is the mood like at home since the Springboks beat England?
I think it's like Christmas again all over. The flags are out. The nation is embracing. They're embracing one another. The people are celebrating in the streets. On my way home, it was very difficult to get home because of the traffic and the jam. People jubilating and standing inside and celebrating outside of the cars.
That's Bronson Weir, the head coach of Nigeria's national men's rugby team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cape Town, South Africa.
Sporting greetings. This is Bronson. We are the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Springboks of South Africa also scooped up some prizes at the World Rugby Awards, including Team of the Year. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Springboks enjoyed a memorable night on Sunday, fresh off of lifting the Webb Ellis Cup for a third time. The new world champions hoisted the top three world rugby gongs at a glitzy award ceremony in Tokyo. Along with being named World Rugby Team of the Year, Springboks flanker Pieter Steph Du Toit took home the World Player of the Year award for his outstanding performance in the World Cup tournament.
This is probably one of the best moments in my life. I think it's the two biggest experiences in rugby world you can get. So it's an unbelievable experience for me, and I couldn't be happier at the moment. Seeing what joy it brings to other people, and in South Africa, we went through difficult stages in our country, and we still are. And when you just have strange people walking up to you and tell you, you give me hope and joy. And so that motivated me a lot. And I've got three younger brothers as well, so they told me, you're living our dream, so I just have to enjoy myself. And by seeing that, it's an unbelievable experience and a privilege for me.
And the 2019 Coach of the Year Award went to Rossi Erasmus, who not only secured the Springboks their third World Cup title, he also led his team to their first rugby championship win since 2007.
Me coaching South Africa, we've got some challenges there, and the way our management, our assistant coaches and our players stood up this specific year with the challenges, I'm really, really proud to be South African.
Coach Erasmus took over the South African team in 2018 when the Springboks were ranked 7th in the world. Now the team is back to form and have reclaimed their position as number one. And Coach Erasmus was quick to point out team captain Siya Kolisi for his help in turning the team around.
We've been in camp for 133 days. I think Siya has been home for 3 days out of 136 days. He's been only home 3 days. So for us, this has been a long journey, and to keep belief and trust and not get frustrated with one another and keep the belief going. For me, it's significant that the boys, no matter what, they always kept South Africa above their own interests, above their own egos, and always kept the Springboks and South Africa's interest up there.
Siya Kolisi accepted the Team of the Year award on behalf of his squad and capped off what has been a stellar year for the Springboks.
We've been together this year for 20 weeks, and there hasn't been any bad moments. We've really enjoyed each other's companies. We've irritated each other a little bit, but it's been good irritation, and it was all worth it at the end of the day. We knew what we were fighting for, and the most important thing was just fighting for one another in the team and seeing the hard work that we do. And yeah, it was really amazing. I've really been probably the best moment of the best team I've ever been part of.
Coach Erasmus recently announced his plans to step down as head coach and return to his duties as the country's director of rugby. Meanwhile, the Springboks are due to fly home to South Africa over the course of 2 days between Tuesday and Wednesday. Congratulations to the world champion Springboks. And that is all from me. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. Kudos to the Springboks lifting that trophy for a third time. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us now with a report on the weekend European club football highlights. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with the 2015 African Footballer of the Year from Gabon. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Gabon super striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored his 50th Arsenal goal, but Wolves came from behind to earn a 1-1 draw at the Emirates Stadium. The result marks the third time in 6 days Arsenal have failed to win, having led in a match. Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane secured a last-gasp winner as Liverpool survived a major scare to snatch a 2-1 win against newly promoted Aston Villa. The hosts deservedly led at the break as an uninspired Liverpool fell behind to Egyptian winger Mahmoud Trezeguet's close-range finish. Andy Robertson leveled the scores in the 86th minute, before Mane's brilliant 94th-minute header broke Villa's hearts and ensured Jurgen Klopp's side extended their Premier League unbeaten run in dramatic fashion.
Because Aston Villa is obviously a very, very, very good team. Start was a bit unlucky, I would say. They performed pretty much from the beginning but didn't get results. And now they had the results. And now they are, to the quality they have, now they have confidence as well.
English striker of Nigerian descent Tammy Abraham scored one goal, and American playmaker Christian Pulisic added another to ensure Chelsea moved back up to third in the Premier League with their fifth consecutive win as they beat Watford 2-1 at Vicarage Road. Abraham joins Leicester's Jamie Vardy and Manchester City's Sergio Aguero as top scorer with 9 goals each so far this season. Manchester City came from a goal down to beat Southampton 2-1 at the Etihad Stadium as Everton earned a 1-1 home draw against Tottenham Hotspur at Goodison Park.
Prince, let's go to France now. I see where top of the table Paris Saint-Germain suffered their third league defeat of the season.
Yes, indeed, Sonny. The French league leaders slipped to a humiliating 2-1 defeat at struggling Dijon. Despite taking an early lead through French star striker of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe, the league leaders now have 27 points from 12 games. Guinea international forward Francois Kameno scored his first goal of the season as Bordeaux defeated Nantes 2-0. Marseille also took advantage of two comical defensive mix-ups to secure a 2-1 win at home to Lille. Dutch forward of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay's last gasp goal and a recovering Olympique Lyon a 3-2 victory at Toulouse to lift them to 10th on 16 points from 12 games.
Prince, let's go to Italy now. Lukaku can't stop scoring.
That's right, Sonny. The Belgian hitman of Congolese descent actually scored twice as Inter Milan managed to beat Bologna away from home in Serie A. And in doing so, he actually managed to equal a very impressive record. The 26-year-old has now equaled the goal-scoring record of Brazilian great Ronaldo, in effect becoming the first player in the process to score 9 or more goals in just 11 Serie A matches for the Nerazzurri since Ronaldo achieved the feat back in the 1997-1998 season. The results actually mean that the Italian giants are second in the Serie A standings and just a point short of the current tally of 29 points held by Juventus, who actually regained their top spot following a 1-0 victory away at Torino.
Prince, let's go to Germany now. Bayern Munich decides to part ways with Niko Kovac after a thrashing by Eintracht Frankfurt.
Very sad state of affairs, Sonny. Despite leading Bayern to 3 wins out of 3 in the Champions League, the Bundesliga giants have now opted for a change of coach. A 5-1 Bundesliga loss away to his former club Eintracht Frankfurt proved to be the 48-year-old's last match in charge of the Bavarians. Pressure has been growing on Kovac all season, despite the Croatian leading Bayern to the Bundesliga title in his first year in charge. And in Spain, 3 goals in the space of 7 second-half minutes saw Levante defeat league leaders Barcelona 3-1. Barca's defeat opened the door for Real Madrid to go top, but Zinedine Zidane's side fired blanks in their 0-0 draw at home to Betis. Atletico Madrid also wasted their chance to leap to the top of the table when they drew 1-1 in an entertaining match in Seville. I'm Prince Nesta, on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African athletics, Kenya swept the men's and women's titles in Sunday's New York City Marathon, as we hear now from Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Newcomer and world half marathon record holder Jocelyn Kipsoge won the women's event of the 2019 New York City Marathon in a time of 2 hours, 22 minutes, 38 seconds. Her time was the second fastest performance at the course for women and the fastest debut at the New York City Marathon. In the men's event, Geoffrey Kamawuro, also from Kenya, took the race in 2 hours, 8 minutes, 13 seconds, winning in New York for the second time in 3 years. Kamawuro is the 10th man to win multiple New York City Marathon titles. In addition to winning the New York City Marathon in 2017, he placed second in 2015 and third last year. Mary Kitiani and Albert Currie, also of Kenya, were the runners-up.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale. In China, Kenya's Matthew Kisorio won the Beijing Marathon Sunday in a course record time of 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 6 seconds. In the women's race in Beijing, Ethiopia's Satume Kebede won her first marathon title, clocking 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 31 seconds. Now let's go to the southwestern U.S. city of Austin, Texas, where British driver Lewis Hamilton clinched his sixth Formula One World Championship. Hamilton wrapped up the title by finishing second behind Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas at the U.S. Grand Prix in Austin. Lewis Hamilton is now only one title away from joining Ferrari great Michael Schumacher at the top of Formula One's list of champions. Lewis Hamilton won the 2019 Formula One championship with two races to spare. And Lewis Hamilton already has plenty of records, including 87 pole positions and 33 successive scoring finishes. And his 83 wins put him on course to surpass Schumacher's record tally of 91 next year. Lewis Hamilton, truly one of the all-time greats when it comes to Formula One race car drivers. In National Football League action Sunday, the Baltimore Ravens soared past the reigning Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, delivering the Patriots their very first loss of the season. The AP's Craig Heist reports from Baltimore, Maryland.
Lamar Jackson combined for three touchdowns to help lead the Ravens to a 37-20 win over the Patriots, handing New England their first loss of the season. Jackson had TD runs of 3 yards and 1 yard. He also had a 5-yard scoring pass to Nick Boyle. The Ravens' defense also scored when Marlon Humphrey ran 70 yards with a fumble. Tom Brady threw for 285 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Jackson says this was never about facing Tom Brady, but rather the outcome of the game.
I'm trying to win versus anybody I play. I don't really dwell on one player or, you know, it's just this guy I want to beat. You know, like I said before, that's still the GOAT. I'm not going to change that. I'm happy to get the win, of course.
The Ravens improved to 6-2 on the season. Craig Heist, Baltimore.
Thanks, Craig. The Patriots now have 8 victories and 1 defeat on the season. The only undefeated team left in the NFL is the San Francisco Giants, who have won their, San Francisco 49ers. I'm confusing baseball with the NFL. It's the 49ers in football and the Giants in baseball. Quick on-air correction on the Sunny Side of Sports. You got it. The 49ers, they are the only undefeated team left in the NFL. All right, in pro boxing, Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez captured the WBO light heavyweight title over the weekend, knocking out former title holder Sergey Crusher Kovalev in the 11th round in Las Vegas, Nevada. Canelo threw a left hook that staggered Kovalev, and then Canelo followed up with a crushing right that made Crusher Kovalev go limp as he fell against the ropes. Referee Russell Mora immediately stepped in and stopped the fight. Canelo becomes the 4th Mexican fighter to win 4 world titles in 4 weight classes. The others to do it are Juan Manuel Marquez, Eric Morales, and Jorge Arce. Canelo improved his record to 53 wins, 1 loss, and 2 draws with 36 knockouts. Kovalev's record is now 34 victories, 4 defeats, and 1 draw with 29 knockouts. This Sunny Side of Sports programming note, during Tuesday's show, we'll hear from Ghanaian world champion boxer Richard Comey. Comey stopped by our Voice of America studios here in Washington to chat with my VOA colleague, Peter Clote. The 32-year-old Comey will defend his IBF lightweight title against Teofimo Lopez on December 14th at Madison Square Garden in New York. Richard Comey has 29 wins, 2 losses, and 26 knockouts. The 22-year-old challenger Lopez is undefeated with 14 victories, 11 of them by knockout. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the November 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, conflict in Cameroon between the government and the English-speaking regions has caused death and displacement of 500,000 people. We'll explore how a peaceful resolution can be achieved on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
Two new studies provide more evidence that avocados are good for you. A Penn State University study gives a new take on the old adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Study authors provide evidence that eating an avocado a day may help keep LDL or bad cholesterol at bay. The study specifically found that eating avocados helped cut down the amount of oxidized LDL particles. It's known how oxygen can damage food, like when an apple turns brown. Researchers say that oxidation is also bad for the human body. The other study from Canada's University of Guelph suggests avocados could help people manage obesity and delay or prevent diabetes. The study authors show for the first time how avocatin B, a compound found only in avocados, can constrain the cellular processes that normally lead to diabetes. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.